Mickey's stories about the old days stirred Kevin's imagination and fueled his respect for the old guard of card counting. Mickey had made millions during the golden age of blackjack, the late 70s and early 80s, when the casinos were just beginning to recognize the risk that counters posed. The dangers counters faced were much more palpable then as well. Mickey's stories were littered with tales of violent backroom experiences and run-ins with Neanderthal security personnel. Although the worst that had ever happened to Mickey was getting roughed up in the parking lot of a downtown hotel, other counters had had fingers broken and even worse. There were rumors of card counters disappearing after long rides into the desert. Of course, Mickey assured him that it was different now. Casinos would never risk their valuable gaming licenses by being involved with such brutal activities. But Mickey had certainly earned every penny of his fortune. Still, as he looked at Fisher's dark expression, Kevin was beginning to think that it would soon be time for a changing of the guard. He hoped it would be a smooth transition. He liked to think of the team as a pleasantly dysfunctional family. If Mickey was forced into retirement, couldn't he still play the father figure? They'd moved from cigars to dessert by the time Martinez strolled through the restaurant, a wide smile on his face. "We're up big," he said, sliding into the booth next to Kevin. "The dealers and pit bosses are fucking clueless here. They're dealing so deep I can see the floor." He unzipped his pants right at the table and pulled a plastic bag full of cash out of his underwear. Kevin grimaced as he accepted the warm bag and removed the stacks of bills. "I sure as hell don't want to know where you carry the chips." By 3 a.m., everyone at the Grand Victoria knew the name Barry Chow. The rumors were spreading with each hand Kevin won. A junket of overly made-up secretaries at the roulette table by the entrance had heard he was the son of a rich plastic surgeon from L.A., the doctor who had done Pamela Anderson and Cher, on vacation from a rich kid's rehab in some small town in Indiana. The old men in bowling shirts playing the slot machines were convinced his dad owned Sony, even though his last name sounded Chinese and he spoke perfect English. The dealers, mostly transplants from Chicago by way of a dealer school in Vegas, didn't care who his father was, just that he was tipping black chips. And the pit bosses, mostly frustrated middle-aged men trying to work their way out of the bush leagues, were in love with his action. Maybe he was winning this time around, but at $2,000 a hand, he'd be welcome back any day of the week. He was the biggest thing to hit the paddle boat since Michael Jordan stopped by 2 months before. And even Jordan didn't bet like Barry Chow. Kevin was having the time of his life. He was the center of attention, all alone at a table that Kian had just abandoned, surrounded by a huge crowd of onlookers. He was playing all 8 betting circles at once, taking full advantage of a +19 count. Kian had helped him burn out a sea of low cards, hitting over and over again through an ugly run until the count started to turn. And now, the shoe was bursting with color. Kings, queens, jacks, and aces springing out with each flick of the dealer's wrist. It was fucking beautiful. On the last round of the shoe, Kevin hit the limit with each of his 8 hands, putting $2,000 in purple chips in each betting circle. He drew 7 20s and an 18 against the dealer's 7. The dealer flipped his hole card, revealing a 10, and Kevin won all 8 of his hands. The dealer started to pay him off, then realized that his rack was empty. He didn't have enough to cover Kevin's win. The poor man shrugged sheepishly and called out to the pit boss. "We need a fill over here." His words were met with a crackle of applause from the crowd. The pit boss scurried to find the chips. Kevin felt like an addict on a cocaine high. He leaned back, kicked his feet up onto the table, right on the goddamn felt, and waited for them to pay him off. He knew he looked like the most arrogant prick in the world, but he didn't care. Hubris had no place in a card counter's vocabulary. There was plenty of time for humility back in Boston, where in a few weeks Kevin would walk down the aisle in a black robe to accept his diploma. Kevin Lewis was graduating with honors from MIT and going to work for an investment banking firm. He was quiet and humble and loyal to the people who knew him. He came from a good family and had just broken up with a wonderful girl. Barry Chow had his feet up on a blackjack table in Elgin, Illinois, and was waiting to get paid. Barry Chow was king of the goddamn paddle boat.